Thank you for chairing. For our next speaker, we have Ron W.
Hello, family. I'm Ron, recovering addict.
Hey, Ron.
And I want to read the speaker statement that the NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group's inexperience in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. And the speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. And when speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. And I'm Ron, I'm a recovering addict.
Hey, Ron.
I want to thank Mike for setting the stage and sharing a part of himself with us. And I want to thank God for another day clean. And I want to thank the Chesapeake Potomac area. Can we take a moment to congratulate them on 20 years of commitment, man? And, you know, I'm glad to be here, man. You know, it's a real privilege. I want to really try to put a focus on a new person. On the new person that you hear. Hopefully, if this is your first Narcotics Anonymous convention, I hope you experience some of the things that I experienced at my first Narcotics Anonymous convention, man, and that was the power of love in this fellowship. I want to let you know that that's the most powerful principle that we have, is unconditional love, which simply means that no matter where you came from, who your connections are, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you had, you are welcome here. Regardless of age, creed, religion, lack of religion, or wherever else you came from. You know what I mean? You're welcome here. And, you know, I'm grateful for the experienced members because the experienced members welcome me here. You know, the topic is called Feel, Deal, and Heal, right? And that's a serious topic because you're talking about emotions, right? You're talking about for the reason why I use drugs in the first place. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about unmanageability. We're talking about not liking who I was. And it ain't have nothing to do with drugs. How about that? How about if you do an inventory and you find out the real truth that my problem wasn't just drugs? My. Please get you as a sponsor. Please get a home group. Please buy a basic text. You know what I'm saying? And please read Who's an Addict. Okay? Living skills reduced to the animal level. The capacity to feel human was lost. You understand what I'm talking about? And, you know, I'm grateful, man. I'm so grateful to be here to get an opportunity. You know, I just pray, man, I just try to surrender. My buddy Clarence got 20 years clean. I always introduce him. When I walk up to people, I tell them that Clarence is new.
Yeah.
And he got 20 years. I tell him, he's new, man. Welcome. You know what I mean? I want to see what kind of milli he really got. You know what I mean? You know, you're talking about feelings. He don't ever say nothing, but his nose get real red, you know. But, you know, I'm grateful to be here, man. You know, we're going to talk about a little bit about Feel, Deal, and Heal. And very briefly, right, I want to let you know that, like, the end of the road for me probably was just pretty much like it was for everybody else, man. You're talking about the hopelessness, the uselessness, the helplessness, and feeling lost. I was lost long before I surrendered, man. You know what pain is? Is when you continue to go out and buy drugs and it still don't fix you. When the drugs begin to wear off, you know how in the beginning it was pleasurable, and then somewhere you crossed the line and, you know, you was using drugs, now drugs using you. You know what I'm saying? You pointed fingers at people, man, searching the floor for crumbs, looking out the window and thinking people was following you, and next thing you know, you on the floor. What you looking for, Ron? I'm mind your business. You know what I'm talking about? And, you know, how embarrassing that is. You know what I'm saying? How embarrassing that is for people watching you, man. You know what palace is, man? You on the floor looking in closets under mattresses and people watching you? What are you doing, man? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, let me check. I want to share a little story with you, right? I remember a time, me and my girl, right, at the time, we used to use drugs together, right? And, you know, I was one of them kind of guys, I never really saved nothing for tomorrow. You know how jokes say, oh, I'm going to save this for tomorrow. And it just didn't work that way for me, right? This one night, you know, I can remember it was only one night out of all them years, right? At one night, there was something left over for the following day, right? And I wanted to wait till my girl go to work because, I'm selfish, right? So now, disease, man, listen, man, don't do that, Ron. You know you need the other thing to go with that, man. Don't do that, man. You need to wait till you get that other thing, right? And I couldn't wait, man. She went to work, and I went on about my business, man, back there smoking, right? And most people know that the ugly side of addiction talks about the fear and paranoia, which is the result, right? So we don't need to talk about all the details. We need to talk about the end of the story, right? Smoking brings fear and paranoia, right? And it wasn't very uncommon for me to hear noises when I would smoke, right? I would always hear, did you hear that? You know, like, shh, right? See, these were very normal characteristics that went along with smoking, right? But this particular day, man, I heard this noise down the hall, right? Wasn't nobody home but me. And I said, man, you know, I'm back there, right? I'm in the grip, right? I can't put my paraphernalia down. I hear the noise, right? I went down the hall, right, my room door. I said, I know you in there. I hear you, right? I said, that's okay. You watch what happened, right? I went back up to the kitchen, right? And I did something that I haven't heard. Now, I've been around quite a while, and I heard a lot of people's stories, but I haven't heard this before. I haven't heard where people found it necessary to call the police. I heard so much noise down the hall, I called the police, right? So I called the police, right? I'm standing there sweating. I got the phone in my ear, and I'm telling them, I said, listen, I got a good intruder in my home, right? And the officer said, could you repeat that again, sir? I said, yes, there's an intruder in my home. Send a car right away, right? Now, long story short, the cops came, and believe it or not, I was glad to see him. When they came, right, I'm sweating profusely. I got a moment of clarity, put my pipe down, right? I let him in, and I'm leading and directing them down the hall. Down there, he's down there, right? He's going down the hall. Now, these guys are very apprehensive, right? Because I really believe this, right? So they start to, loosen the holster, right? You know, like they're getting ready, prepared to meet an offense, right? I said, go on in there, right? So they went on in there, right? So they went in there, and they didn't see nothing in there, right? So I told him, check in the closet. He looked in the closet, right? So they came back, right? And they noticed that, this doesn't appear to be any forced entry or anything like that. And then the two officers looked at each other. Right. And then they looked at me. You understand what I'm saying? And I said, I don't know how he got out, man. You know? And that's a true story, right? And you know, it's okay, man. You know, you new in all cars and ours, man. You can have some fun in here, right? Because I'm going to tell you something. You're going to go through some feelings in this journey. Okay, because when you put the drugs down, eventually the real guy is going to start showing up again, right? The guy I was running from all my life. Give me a bag of heroin. Let me do this. Let me do that. Why? Because I don't want to feel. I don't like me. As a little boy, 8 years old, my parents used to take me to the babysitter, right? And I'd go over there to the old lady, right? And I'd go in there and take her pennies out the jar, right? Periodically, I would take these pennies, go out and buy candy, right? And go out and give it out to the girls in the playground, right? It was a real good feeling in that for me at 8 years old, right? Because I always felt inadequate. I knew something was wrong with me. Wasn't going to, you know, come from poverty or anything like that. You know, my brother and I, we didn't want for anything materialistically, right? So my parents didn't understand my behavior. I was never a successful thief. I always got caught. And the old lady eventually started to realize that, Ron, you know, she pulled me to the side one day, so I noticed that my pennies are diminishing out the jar. You know, would you happen to know where they are? And I said, no, I don't know where they are. I said, but I'll help you look for them. You know what I'm saying? At eight years old. You know what I mean, but I continue to take those pennies once in a while. In the end, I was taking them every day to give it out to the girls in the playground because it was a sense of attention. I was seeking attention, man. You understand what I'm saying? I want to feel good, man, at 8 years old. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't get that. I'm not going to blame my parents. They did the best they could, man. You understand? But I believe disease of addiction began to manifest itself long before the use of drugs, right? Most kids would play with G.I. Joes and Army trucks and those 007 little suitcase I used to have, right? I played with loneliness, man. I played with sadness and depression, man. I played with what's wrong with you, man? Because you only hear what you heard, right? You ain't going to never be nothing, man. Why you going to be just like my father? You going to be be like my brother, man, in and out of prisons and all those kind of things, man. Truant officers coming to the house. What's wrong with you? Took me to a psychiatrist, man. The guy didn't know what's wrong here. Try some of these pills, man, experimentally, right? See if they work. I don't know what's wrong with him. You know what I'm saying? And what I'm trying to say, man, I really didn't get no help, man, until I came to Narcotics Anonymous, man. It was a rough road out there, you know, trying to fill the void. I want to talk about Feel, Deal, and Heal, but I want to talk about it from the perspective of the spirit. Because if you read Who's the Addict, it talks about in the beginning, my spirit was broken. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a broken spirit. Yeah, I was walking around. I was a walking dead man. See, a broken spirit is a person who has no joy, no happiness, no contentment, no satisfaction. That's a painful way to live, right? That's a painful existence. So drugs became an option. I would try anything. I used to hear the winos outside of the downstairs. We live on the fifth floor at the time. The winos be downstairs singing about 3-4 in the morning. They'd be singing, sitting in the park, waiting for. And they sounded so good. You know what I'm saying? They seemed like the only three people in the world that was up. But I wanted what they had. I wanted to go outside. I wanted to feel better. I wanted to feel different than the way that I felt. You know what I'm saying? So drugs was an option for me. I want to talk about coming into Narcotics Anonymous, right? Me and my girl, right, we used to use, man. I got clean through Narcotics Anonymous. She got clean on her own. And then she picked up. Now people placing things at home. And you want to talk about some feelings, right? I was in the first step at the time with my sponsor, right? You know, and I need to say that when I first came in Narcotics Anonymous, man, like my withdrawal process took a long time. So if you knew and you coming in here, you seen a lot of people laughing, you want to know what's wrong with you, nothing. You know what I'm saying? Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous, man. Strap up, baby. You know what I'm saying? It's going to pass. That's what we're talking about, man. We're talking about learning how to go through the feelings and not use. That's what this is about. My sponsor helped me out tremendously, right? Because I thought that if I got to the 12 step, man, like everything would be all right. I'd just be on a pink cloud. I've arrived. I work hard. I got mine. You understand what I'm saying? My sponsor told me, said, that's not what the program's about, Ron. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about learning how to go through adversity, learning how to go through difficult times, learning how to go through trials. People get divorced in here. People with clean time lose good jobs. People in here get sick, man. You understand what I'm saying? That's the real deal. Man, can you go through adversity and don't use drugs? You understand? Can you feel, deal, and heal? What we're talking about is learning how to sit still sometimes. You know, when you call your sponsor and you know, we put our sponsors on pedestals, right? Because they always had the right answer, always make you feel good. Oh, you always have the right thing to say. How about when what they say ain't make you feel no better? How about that? How about your network is busy? You start feeling a little shunned out and you want to know why are people being removed out of my life? It's a setup. God is setting you up, man, because he wants me to build that relationship with him. You're a very busy guy, Ron. It's hard to slow you down, but I need your undivided attention. When you go to the dentist, right? And I don't like going to the dentist. I need to go to dinner now, right? But I don't like going to the dentist, right? You know, because you anticipate it's painful. Right? But the only reason why you go to the dentist is because you're in pain in the first place. Now, you may go to the dentist and you bring your family with you. You know, you got your loved ones and everybody, and you're sitting in the lobby, you're waiting for your turn, right? But when they call you, it's just you going in that room with them. You understand what I'm talking about? And that's what it is like with God. You got your little posse, you got your little network, and you in your second step, you got your home group. Oh, I love, my celebration is coming up. But boy, when you got to meet God, they ain't coming with you. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about feeling. I'm talking about fear. I'm talking about uncertainty. I'm talking about the stuff, man, that make you feel uncomfortable in your spirit. Right? Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that, right? Because I got my first 6 years of recovery was drama, man. You know, you put the drug down, right? You got a big vacuum in your life, right? They say avoid people, plays, and things, use, whiff, and that, right? So I ain't stand on the corner. So I found me some new things to play with, right? So, the gambling. I had the three women in my life, one in the room, one at the door, one on the phone. You understand what I'm talking about? Right? I mean, that's what you do, ain't it? I thought, you know what I'm saying? It felt good, man. Yeah, but again, in the beginning, it was pleasurable. And in the end, it was hell. And I'm telling you that I didn't meet God through the loving experiences of watching flowers bloom. I met God in hell. That's where I met him at. Okay? God, glutton for punishment. Yeah, come on, Ronnie, I really love you, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, and we sick as our secrets, right? And, you know, so, like, I learned how to share NA, man. You know, you get your slogans down day at a time. Keep it simple, man. More going to be revealed. You start feeling accepted in NA. But, boy, you'll find out sooner or later that stuff wears off. You know what I'm saying? It wears off, right? And you're going to need a new hit. My sponsor said, listen, man. You know what I mean? You know about the powers and unmanageability. You know the power greater than yourself should be suggested. It's suggested that it be loving and caring and greater than your disease. You know what I'm saying? I started seeing the miracles and the coincidences and the things starting to happen in my life. And I started attributing this loving force being this power greater than me, my higher power. Right? Being on the bus stop, I got to be downtown. And some miraculous recovering addict would pull up at a wonderful time. Hey, Ron, you need a ride? I remember going to my first Narcotics Anonymous convention and being so hungry. I was a newcomer. I didn't have any money. You know, I got in on an Intrigent package. I don't know if y'all still do that now, right? And got in on an Intrigent package, man. And about lunchtime, Cam was starving, right? Me and him both were broke, right? We standing there. Two people come off the elevator, man, with a big bag of Kentucky Fried Chicken. You guys hungry? I was like, wow, look at that. Man, I'm coming back. You know what I'm saying? I felt good. You know what I mean? So I started to see those things happen, and I started to attribute that, this unseen force, that it has to be more than a coincidence, right? And it started to bridge me into a little bit of faith now in my third step, right, where we start to form a commitment. Right, I'm committed to using drugs, and you get to Narcotics Anonymous, we want to get committed to this new way of life, home group, and service commitments, and that kind of stuff, right? Now we have real evidence of my commitment is to try to work the rest of the steps. If you got all this faith, and you're talking about God is good all the time, please do your fourth step. Let's see how good God is, thank you, right? You understand what I'm saying? And you know the feelings, right, the insecurity I wrote. I remember, you know how I talk about writing in the hand now, because I didn't know. I thought I'd go back to when I was 4 years old. You know, I don't know what to write about. It says start writing in the here and now, man. You know, what's going on in your life today? The more you live the program, the more issues surface. What's going on in your life? We're talking about, could you get honest with yourself for once? Right, so we pray, right, because I don't have all that ability in just step 1, 2, and 3. I know I'm an addict. I know I like girls, right, but I'm just using. I'm just acting out because I'm trying to fill a void. I really don't know much about love, right, because people who love themselves don't continue to hurt themselves, right? So it's time to do a fourth step, man. Look at these vicious patterns, man. How come I keep winding up in the same place? I'm doing the same thing without drugs. I'm miserable, right? I'm on the floor. God, please help me. So we do the fourth step. We start to write and write the fear and the insecurity, right? I thought my girl, right, I thought she might be bisexual. She was too close to that other girl, man. And that was the first thing rolled up, man. Too close, man. Disease creep up on me, man. Said, I don't know, man. I don't think you're the only one, man. You know what I'm saying? I was too cool for that. I didn't want y'all to know that kind of stuff, man. I used dope behind that, man. I used bags of heroin. In just case you knew and you don't know what dope is, heroin. That's what I use. P-dope. All right, I would run, listen, with no shoes on, I'll go get me some dope, man, because I cannot live with the feelings, okay? And all he asked me to do is write it down on paper. Everything that you're writing, you've already done it. It cannot hurt you anymore. We're trying to uncover, right? I cannot heal from anything that I don't know what I'm sick from, okay? So we need to do a fourth step, right? It took me 9 months to write it because I'm, you know, the inconsistency. I write a long time and I put it up a long time. You know what I mean? The gentleman talked about going to the dances and things. I was excited about my new life. I was clean, man. You know, 6 months, 9 months, got the key tags. Come on, man. I was sharing. I got a new life. You know what I'm talking about? And my past started catching up to me, right? Somewhere in the third step, right, I want to share that, you know, like a wonderful thing happened, right? You know, my daughter's mother, man, eventually the tracks for the promotion. I tried to get it clean, man. You know what I'm saying? But addict ain't willing to stop using, ain't going to stop. Beating, threatened, wishful, counsel, reason with, man, addict ain't going to stop till he ready to stop. Only those that want what we had will follow us in our new way of life, right? So I had to move out, right? See, now, I was one of the kind of guys always talking about, we got cable, we got cats, wall-to-wall carpet, you know, all that luxury I was accustomed to, right? But when I got to the third step, let me tell you something, man. We talking about let go and let God. And ain't nobody never told me how you do it. They like to share that. Oh, let go and let God, brother. Turn it over, brother. But you ain't never told me how to do it. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't know what I was letting go of, first of all. You know what I'm saying? The reality is I was very fearful. I was very fearful of the unknown. We talked about God, but is he really going to care for me? Because the truth of the matter is my girl was still working. She was the one paying the rent. She was the one washing my clothes, and she was the one feeding me. Okay, now you said let go and let God. Now who going to take care of me? That's what the thing was. You understand what I'm talking about? Hey, listen, man, get a newspaper, find a room, right? You know, I had a lot of help and support, right? And I got this empty room, and something wonderful happened there. I moved into this empty room, right? And that's where I believe I met the God of my understanding. It wasn't nothing in that room. No TV, no shades, okay? Closets, floors used to squeak, right? But there was something there that I wasn't able to see, and it was called peace. Sometimes when you let go and let God, what you get back is peace of mind. It ain't always you're going to get another girl. You might need to get some of your mind back. You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, I got in that room, man. We did some four-step work, right? Let's help a sponsorship, man. We went over the fifth step, right? And over the fifth step, man, the first thing I shared was the secrets. Because, you know, I had been making a lot of meetings. I wasn't that afraid of doing a fourth step. I had heard your share, man. Like, look, it's very necessary to do your fourth step inventory because to understand why do I need to do a fourth step because I'm trying to uncover some things so that we can get to the fifth step and discover some things, right? And I discovered that it wasn't about a confession of how horrible I was. It was about the nature of why you're doing those things. Not that I stole or I slept around. Why did you feel the need to steal? Why do you need so many people in your life? We got to get to the exact nature. We can't go no further until we start pinpointing what's going on here, man. You know what I'm saying? I had to take a look at loneliness, man. I didn't hear men talk about loneliness in this fellowship that often. When I came up, loneliness, man, you were soft if you said talk. What you mean you're lonely, man? Fatal, cool, terminal, hip guy like you. What you mean you're lonely, man? All them women you got in your life, how could you have people in your life? You got a mate or a partner in your life and you still lonely. What is that? Huh? Loneliness is a spiritual void. Being alone is a mental choice. And I had a spiritual void that I tried to fill with people. My spirit was broken. Remember that, right? So, you know, like, it took me a long time. Nobody sat me down and explained that to me. My sponsor didn't tell me that. This is why we just took a look at what we were doing right now because, really, your fifth step talk about your past, okay? We're going to see in sixth step how them defects affect your present, okay? We're going to see how much you really changed, right? Because, you know, you feel good. You did your fourth and your fifth step, right? You know, you can share. Yeah, my fourth step, I wrote, you know, you feel real good, but you ain't see how them defects affect your life in the here and now. You know, we're going to see how that fear and that anger and that resentment and loneliness and self-pity and self-centeredness start affecting your spirit now. Let's see you recover now without drugs. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. How you going to bring the old guy in the new life? It ain't going to work. They say you got to let go of them old survival skills because you don't need that no more. The gentleman talked about not being afraid to love, but that was a process because I didn't know about love, man. I didn't trust. First of all, trust, man, right? You're talking about the spiritual principle of trusting. You can let go, but can you trust the process? Can you be in the hallway after you let go, right? I call it the hallway, right? When you pray, blah, 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 with God, right? And now you let go, right? But you know you ain't heard nothing yet for a little while. So you, 5 minutes? I only had 5 minutes.
That's my bad.
Oh, my God. Boy, that's some humility for you, right? Let's go. It's all good. Hey, check it out. You be in the hallway, right? And you're waiting for God to answer your prayer. That's where the healing process takes place. It's in the hallway, right? That's what I need patience and tolerance for. I don't need it with you. I don't need patience and tolerance for my wife and kids. I need patience and tolerance with my own unrealistic expectations that I put on people. I need patience and tolerance with my anger when you don't do things like I ask you to do. You understand what I'm saying? With years clean and I'm spiritual, got tapes and everything, but how come about you still got that anger? What kind of relationship you got with that anger? You understand? What kind of relationship you got with them resentments you still holding on to and you did a couple of fourth and fifth steps and you sponsored other people and been to a lot of conventions? How about that relationship? You understand what I'm saying? We got to talk about the here and now. We're talking about, can you stand in the hallway? You pray right in your seventh step and ask God to help you. Could you stay in the hallway long enough till he come? That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to share this very briefly and close. That women thing, right? I had an addiction, man, with my sexual addiction, right? I slept around for a lot of years filling the void. Talking about coming to Tyler ready to have God remove the defects, right? He took the people out of my life. Now it was just me, man. You know, just me by myself. Because remember, the program is talking about building a relationship primarily with yourself first. You know, mates and friends, those are all extras, right? I'm here because I have a broken spirit. And I need the 12 steps because that is the defense against the disease of this addiction. My survival kit, The steps are the solution. The spiritual principles in the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, when I'm willing to practice them, God will use them to help mend my broken spirit. That's why we need to work the steps, man. You see, because an addict without his drug is miserable. Walking around, you know, spend so much money on your clothes, nice shoes, you know, new car with payments, and you're miserable. Miserable. You understand what I'm saying? The joy is in the journey, man. It's not a destination, right? Listen, I remember God, you know, wanting to act out. Man, you need to go back to my old relationships, right? And you know that person ain't the one, but you feel so lonely. You just feel so empty. You just, like, settle for less, you know. Well, let's try it one more time. You know it ain't the one. You know it ain't the one, right? And you get so sick of yourself, man. Listen, man, God, I'll do anything. Just help me, man. You understand? Then God starts showing you your assets, man. We started a business. I learned how to play tennis. I went to jazz concerts. I went to movies by myself. First time in my life. You understand? Be a friend to yourself, man. You know, we clean today. You know, I can't blame everything on the disease. You ain't using drugs. You got choices, man. You know, I don't have to use. I don't have to act out. Right? That's the choice. Doesn't mean we guarantee you won't. It means I have a choice, right? And I've been exercising some healthy choices in my recovery lately, right? And God, some of the women that come into my path taught me how to be a friend, you know, and, you know, open doors for ladies and not treat people as sexual objects. Two people lay down, somebody going to get up with feelings. I found out it could be me. I'm a feeling guy. I want to know why you ain't call me tomorrow, you know. And, like, God started, you know, try to teach me some things, man. And eventually he sent a lady in my life who was a friend. I began to look at her from some of the spiritual principles and values that I want in a person. And that's why I chose her. You know what I mean? I saw the beauty, real beauty in her a little later, right? But I saw the common theme. I saw the spiritual level that we had together, man, that I could share. I like to talk about God. That means my woman got to be, not she won't. She like to talk about God because I like to talk about God. So if you tired of hearing talking about God, we ain't got too much in common. Okay, because my life today is because of God and this program. Okay, you know, I'm a share the time and close, man. And I just want to say, man, if you knew, feel, deal, and heal. It's about the hallway. It's about sitting in the hallway, waiting on God to do His work. And if you can wait, I guarantee He'll show up. Thank you for letting me share.